Okay, well, let me help you out with that. Many of you know that I didn't grow up in a church-going family because, well, I just didn't. But I grew up knowing the words of the 23rd Psalm because my mother has this little, and she still has it, she has this little gift Bible that she got from her youth group. It's a well-loved Bible. And on the inside of it, and it's really funny because Deb Modi gave me a copy, and it's the very same version that my mother, I should have gotten it out of the office. Oh, oops, oh well. But on the inside cover is the Lord's Prayer in the traditional King James version. And on the back cover, on the inside frontispiece of the back cover, is the 23rd Psalm. And so my mother and I would read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pretty good, huh? So that was one of the prayers. And I didn't, as I said, I wasn't a church-going person. So I didn't know what the Psalms were. I didn't know what any of this stuff meant. But I liked the cadence. I liked the rhythm. I liked the fact that it was in my mom's little Bible and it was something that we could read together. I was greatly distressed when I got my first copy of the Book of Common Prayer, because it was this, which still makes very good sense. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I don't need anything, because the Lord is my shepherd. And the language is still there, it's still flourishing and flowery, but it's not the same, is it? It's not the same. But let's take a minute and think about, what is this psalm telling us? So this psalm, and the psalm that precedes it, and this is why I think we should probably, if we all had our Books of Common Prayer out here, I'd make you pull out your BCPs and we all read Psalm 22, because Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 go together. They're these pastoral psalms. They were written in times of great turmoil. They were written in times when people were struggling, when people were scared. They needed to figure out, how is God going to take care of us? Because something just isn't right. And so they wrote this song of pastoral praise. I know who God is because God is my shepherd. God doesn't hide God's face from me. And that beautiful line, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. For the last year, have we not spent a lot of time in the valley of the shadow of death? Have we not spent a lot of time in darkness, in anxiety, in lament, in the question of what comes next? What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? When the psalmist wrote this, they were in the same kind of place. And there is that beautiful assurance. Even though I'm walking in turmoil, I know that God walks with me. Good Shepherd Sunday, as we know, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is that moment when we're reassured. So we're 4 weeks from Easter Sunday. We're 4 Sundays from Easter Sunday. Let's put it that way. The alleluias have gotten a little quiet, haven't they? The news has gotten a little weirder. The times have gotten a little more struggly. We may have forgotten that we have our little alleluia bells in our resurrection eggs. And so the church wants us to remember that we are still in the season of resurrection. We are still in the season of God's promise of new life to us. And so we hear this gospel lesson. I am the good shepherd. Now, let me just take a second and take a tangent for a moment. Has anybody seen that little video clip on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter? And it's a shepherd trying to get a sheep out of a culvert. So you've seen it, haven't you, Elizabeth? Okay, so it's this really narrow culvert, and all you see is the shepherd and the sheep's back leg. And the sheep and the shepherd, all the shepherd could do is just keep grabbing that leg and keep grabbing that leg and keep grabbing that leg. And finally just yanks that little body right out of this little narrow crevice. And the sheep goes bounding away and gets stuck again. It's so funny. I've watched it like 1,000 times. Not because I like to see animals in danger, but because it's such a great metaphor. We get rescued, we run away, and what happens? We get stuck again, right, friends? So we need to hear the shepherd story. And we need to hear not just I'm the good shepherd, but we need to hear that Jesus has come and has said, I'm not like that hired hand. The hired hand doesn't care. I'm the one who's going to watch. I'm the one who's going to keep awake. I'm the one who's going to wrestle you out of the culvert. And I'm going to stay with you. And if that wolf comes, well, I'm going to fight that wolf for you. I am not going to let the dangers of this world hurt you. It's a question and a matter of believing that what God does for us, God does for us out of goodness and love. I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd that comes. And even, as the psalmist tells us, even when you walk through that terrible time, I am there with you. And it'll be a struggle. But remember that the God of the valleys is also the God of the mountains. I think about us being sheep-like. Now, sheep are pretty dumb creatures. In fact, I've heard them say, sheep are the one animal you can do everything right. You can put them out in good grass. You can give them good antibiotics. You can do everything right. And that sheep will go pear-shaped like that because they're dumb. They'll stand out in the rain and open their mouths and drown. I mean, they're not particularly brilliant animals, but they give good wool. And lamb chops sometimes taste good. But sheep need a shepherd. So let us think for a minute, how are we in our lives acting like sheep? Not the following behind the sheeple behavior, but how are we endangering our own lives? How are we standing out in the field, not taking care of ourselves? It's in those moments that we need to turn our face back to the shepherd. And if we don't, we have assurance that the shepherd will find us will come to us and will rescue us. And again, that doesn't mean that things aren't going to go pear-shaped. But things going pear-shaped are a lot easier when you have somebody's love, the great Creator's love, surrounding you. Getting back to the psalm. And this is a pretty interesting point. You know, I hang out on Twitter. Jamie, please don't text me and say get off Twitter. But I hang out on Twitter a lot. And one of my favorite priests to follow is a guy named Reverend Daniel, who's a priest in Toronto. And he's a delightful person. I can hardly wait to meet him someday. This is what he said about the psalm for this morning. He said, maybe the shepherd spreads a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, not only indicates grace at work in the midst of turmoil, but also because the shepherd expects me to invite those who trouble me to also sit, eat, and join the journey to green pastures. So maybe the psalm isn't just about us taking reassurance in the presence of God, in the presence of the shepherd, but maybe it is also for us as an indicator that we have the ability to invite people into those green pastures. We're going to love them, right? We're going to love being there. And don't we want everyone to be there with us? Even the ones that we want to go like this to? Mm-hmm. Even the ones that we go, oh, if I hear your voice one more time, I'm going to chew my own eyeballs out. Yeah. Because they deserve the shepherd's love too. They're worthy of the shepherd's love as well. So what do we do with us this week, my friends? If you remember, a couple of years ago, there was a news story about some sheep that had wandered off from the flock and had disappeared for like 5 years. And it came back and it had like 50 pounds of fleece on him and he couldn't really walk right. And he was, okay, maybe you all don't hang out on the same feeds on Twitter that I do. He's big. He was so upset because he didn't feel right. I think the lesson for us is, one, we don't wander away from the shepherd. Let's not wander too far away from God's presence, from God's love, from God's grace and mercy towards us and to our companions on the journey. And the second is this: when the valley closes in, turn to God. Look up. Turn to God and look toward the hills and the green valleys. Don't look at it in a Pollyanna way. You'll have your work to do. I'll have my work to do to get out of the valley. But for heaven's sake, trust that God walks with you. Trust that God walks with all of us. My friends, I offer you this meditation this morning in the name of the one who created us, the one who redeems us, and the one who sanctifies us always. Amen.